Welcome to Rocky Mountain Media. This is All In, episode 23, and today is a special show because it's all guys in our club. No girls today except for me, and then Zoe will be popping in and out, so I'm letting the guys decide today what we're talking about. So say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
It's so much quieter when it's just the guys. It's so funny. I love it. We figured a great topic today would be anybody who's listening out there about how different tools or software helped you advance in blank. So something in your life, career, school, whatever it may be. So I think Eric should go first because he wanted to talk about music, how things have helped him in his life for music.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the last semester, I took Doug's Intro to Computer Music Applications class, and going into it, I was like, well, I'm a musician in the 21st century. I should probably learn how to do recording, like producing software and stuff like that. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'll take this class, not thinking that I would like get all into it, because I always looked at producing as like tedious, hard labor work when I just want to play the instrument. But then taking that class, I like understand and realize that there's so much more depth to the producing side of music and the mixing and mastering side of music. So it really added like another layer of things that I could learn to do and things that I could learn and accomplish that will actually like add another layer to my music or another layer to my art. And it's pretty good. It's pretty useful. Not having it right now, if I wasn't having it, I probably wouldn't be making music, you know, like I wouldn't be making my own projects and my own songs by myself at my own house. I would always have to like rely on somebody else to be a producer or something for me, or like maybe hire somebody. But now that I'm actually learning it, it gets me so involved and interested in doing it, and it makes me branch out into other things. Like I wouldn't even be the audio engineer for this podcast right now if I didn't know how recording software worked.
And thank you for that.
Right. Wow. No problem. Yeah. So if I didn't know any of that stuff, I probably wouldn't even be able to do it all, like all this stuff with the mixing board and then into a audio interface and then into a laptop that uses some form of recording software. And just becoming familiar with one makes you like the baseline familiar with all of them, as long as somebody's able to show you, like Mac did today for me for Reaper. That's the software we're using right now to record this podcast.
Oh, he loves Reaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, he talked about that great. Before.
And so I never used it before. And if I had never taken Doug's class and I just like never knew anything about the producing side of things, mm-hmm. and I never knew how like all this gear works and how everything's like one big chain together and then how to manipulate it into a computer digitally, I probably wouldn't be able to quickly pick up Reaper today. So I probably would have had to sit there like for 10 or 15 more minutes with Mac being like, okay, so what does this do? What exactly is this? Like the red button records? Okay, cool. But since I use Logic, I'm like, I can identify the things on the software and be like, that's where that's at, that's where that's at, that's where that's at. Cool. 5 minutes and we're good to record. So yeah, it's really helped me, and especially like right now here, sitting here in this chair, it's helped me a lot, and I can definitely appreciate the production and mixing side of everything a lot more.
That's cool. Yeah. And gives you new tools and knowledge when you record your own music, you think?
100%. I wouldn't be able to record any music at all. I wouldn't even be able to figure out that R on the keyboard makes things record. if I didn't have any classes or recording engineer. Because I never, before his class, I never cared about it. I didn't look at people professionally who did it as like, oh, they actually like have just as much training, if not more, than a musician or something like that. I just looked at them like, oh, that's just somebody we hand our work off to, and then they like do their magic and then throw it out. But it takes a lot more than just like the do your magic waving a wand around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it takes extensive amounts of hard, patient work to be able to produce a good product, and that's what I'm trying to do every time I get behind a keyboard and behind a microphone, behind the instrument, and plugged into an actual recording software or just recording anything in general. And I wouldn't be able to have the opportunity that me and Dina have next semester with the recording studio if I never took Doug's class.
Yeah.
Because meeting Doug and then getting to know that software and getting to know more knowledge from Doug instilled that idea that I'm capable enough to be able to do it on a more professional level. So with the next semester and that recording studio coming in, you'll see me behind the board and me and Dina behind the board.
I know. I'm so excited to do that with you because I've always said, I'm not techie, I'm neck techie, but right. That's always just been my story as far as like, I can learn.
Right.
All you got to do is teach me.
Right.
I still won't be able to be good with like, Mac fixing my laptop for me. You know, I can't do stuff like that.
Right.
And I don't want to learn. Yeah. I've got enough irons in the fire.
Right.
But the recording studio, I'm really stoked for that for our campus and what that makes available for everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to learn.
Because I'm pretty sure everybody in here for one way or another will be able to use it and has like needs to use it.
And we'll have to test it. And I mean,
yeah, since we're all in podcast club, we'll all have an opportunity to use it with the podcast. Nathan does music, so he can record any of his music in there. Mm-hmm. Anything that happens with like broadcasting for Radio Red Rocks, and me and Dean are in, if Mac decides to make a show about cybersecurity or with Connor or with Alex, then any of that stuff is pretty easy now.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Yeah, totally. What, I want to piggyback on that though. So if you've got like, you know, say where you were and you've got new college kids coming in or something and they don't know anything about how to learn and get their music in a more rounded arena.
Right.
What would you recommend?
Like a rounded arena is like you say, like more, get it, people, more people to listen to it, or just like a more well-rounded musicality,
like knowledge.
Or just knowledge of recording and music and how that all plays together.
Yeah.
So it's to have somebody come in, if like they just asked me or like they saw me doing something with a mixing board or something, they're like, what's that? How do you do that? I would definitely want to show you. I would probably try to show you the basics. But after I would show you the basics, I would tell you to take Doug's class because I can only teach you the baseline of what I know based on from what I learned from Doug's class. But I'm telling you, if you take the class and you really pay attention, you'll learn just as much as I have with the basics. And then you take the advanced class, or maybe you want to take sound, sound design. Mm. And then you want to take mixing mastering classes. So it's like all these things, we have opportunities on campus for classes for people to learn this stuff. Mm-hmm. And for people to think that like, oh, I'm self-taught, I don't need a teacher, like there's nothing they can't teach me, I can't learn by myself. Yeah, it's true. I mean, if you really want to take all that time out of your day to just try to do it yourself, that's definitely
that's
a possibility.
Some basics probably too.
Yeah, that's definitely how a lot of people learn the basics. That's how I learned the basics of the guitar at first before I started getting a teacher.
Yeah, totally.
But I think that having an actual teacher, whether that be me, Doug, or some other teacher in multimedia graphic design here at Red Rocks, having them being able to do that for you is going to be something that helps you out like exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing, you can hit them with any question that you have and they'll be able to point you somewhere. And just like me, if you hit me with any question, I will try to point you somewhere. So I'll try to give you the answer best as I can. But if I can't give you the 100% answer that you want, I know I'll push you to somewhere else. I'm not going to try to like bull crap you or anything.
What was the name of that class that you're talking about?
The one that I took last semester, mm-hmm. Intro to Computer Music Applications.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay.
And this semester I'm taking the advanced class.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm also taking Paul's Business for Creatives class.
Oh yeah, that one's intense.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
But
that's what my mom tells me, and it's very intense. And Paul says it's kind of demanding, but it's no challenge for me.
But he's a phenomenal teacher.
Definitely.
And he will push you to be better.
Definitely.
So I have had the pleasure of TAing his class this summer semester since I was taking a photojournalism class. And he's a great teacher. Like, he doesn't want you to go away and you not understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he almost takes it personal because he just has that much passion for you to learn.
Right.
I mean, the man's giving up like $1 million business to be able to be here with us and teach us more photography.
Right. And so that's also the idea too, is that these, if you need to find somebody who you want to learn from,
mm-hmm.
whether that be a teacher or a fellow student or a peer,
mm-hmm.
or even somebody in your family or something, just make sure that they have a passion for it.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people out there that have been doing it for a long time and then they kind of lose their passion for it, or they find like the nitty-gritty.
They're burnt out.
Right, or they get burnt out on and they want to try to pursue something else, or maybe that wasn't their first pursuit in the minute. You want to find somebody that has the passion so they can transfer that passion to you,
mm-hmm.
and so you can understand and realize how much you can gain from these pieces of equipment and software that you don't know how to use at first but can learn how to use.
Yeah. What about you, Mac? What's helped you? What tools or software has helped you?
Yeah, I think it'd be hard to overstate the importance of a lot of the different tools I use. Everything from, for some background, I do cybersecurity and system administration mostly. But you know, without things like Ubuntu, Red Hat, like RHEL, Kubernetes, Docker, all those different container technologies and the platforms they run on, you know, the various other many, I could spend hours talking about the different technologies. Without those, it'd make the jobs of IT administrators a lot more difficult. It's just very hard to overstate the importance of those different pieces of software. Anything from logging software to something that looks for network intrusion, IDS, IPS, all those different technologies. I couldn't imagine a world of cybersecurity without them.
What would you say would be a good, like, take me for an example where I'm like, yeah, that looks pretty. What would be a good defense for somebody just getting like a new system or a new whatever? What are some basics, like, just to make sure, one, they're secure, two, they're getting what they need and what to look for?
At the end of the day, the most important thing you can possibly do is, number one, making sure you're only installing software that you trust. Mm. If you're trying to look up a tool for something, it's just not a good idea to download XYZ software. Make sure it's a known entity. Make sure it's signed, things like that. But also, the other equally important thing to do is to make sure that everything you use is up to date. So pushing off, you'll get those quote-unquote annoying pop-ups saying, hey, you need to update iOS, macOS, Windows, you know, whatever you use, Ubuntu. Don't put those off. Those have very important security fixes. I jump on those immediately whenever I see them because it's just so important. If you actually looked at the detailed information behind that update, if you looked at the different CVEs that have been addressed in that update, you'd be amazed all of the exploits that get fixed for every single update that's pushed out. It's kind of terrifying, honestly. Hmm. But the important thing to know as an end user is just install those updates. You know, that's the most important thing you can do to stay safe, is just getting rid of a lot of those security holes that, you know, are inevitable with you with software.
Hmm. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Especially since I'm hopefully will be eventually upgrading to an iMac for the home.
Yeah, and those are great. Their Mac OS is fantastic. It's just, it's as with anything else, you want to make sure you stay up to date.
Hmm. Very good. Thanks for that. What about you, Alex? What's helped you?
My most helpful tool in anything has been communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like in class, like if I don't understand something, I'm going to ask. Sometimes it's nice because, like, teachers are like, well, it's nice that you're paying attention and that you're, like, asking. But sometimes I ask a lot of questions and then they get frustrated. But I'm just trying to learn. Mm-hmm. Also, just in life, communication has been super helpful because I've noticed, like, I've seen a lot of people who are unhappy with stuff or, like, unhappy that with stuff that happens to them or things that certain people do. And it's just like, well, have you tried communicating that you're uncomfortable? And they haven't, and it's just, like, people can't read minds.
Nope.
And communication is really important, and, yeah, that's just been super helpful for me.
And you're so young to get that so early. You know, I didn't get that until probably, I would say, in my 40s, how essential it is, in my early 40s, of, you know, people can get misunderstood or there's a miscommunication. Those kind of things. Sometimes there's just a lack of communication, and it is vital to any relationship, whether it's a friendship, romantic, it doesn't matter. It's vital. Teacher, student, it's a vital tool that you have to have.
Yeah. The way I learned that was having like a person in my life to where like they didn't do that, and then you have like an example of what not to do, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because if you have that, then you can correlate the facts that like, oh, this is why these things are culminating in that person's life the way they are, is because one of the biggest things is, yeah, they don't communicate it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are going through something or they are feeling some kind of way or they are thinking these kind of things, then communicating whatever it is, whether it be good, bad, or ugly, is a good thing because it'll instill that idea that like you can rely on other human beings to be able to help you through your problems and not think that you're like the only person who goes through the only problems that are in your life, because everybody shares it in some way, shape, or form. So being able to communicate that bridges that bond between people that, oh, I'm going through crap, you're going through crap, let's unite and help each other over it rather than just trying to avoid it every day. So if you see somebody in your life that's like that, recognize that that person has probably learned that, and like me, I learned it through having a figure of my life where they didn't do that at all. And so being able to recognize that, you can have more sympathy for people, because you'll walk down the road and you'll see somebody who's not like that, and they're very angry, upset about life, and they're very angry and upset with themselves, and the only way they might be able to communicate is through anger, or the only way they might communicate is not at all.
Mm.
Or they might just try to avoid everything. Just know that if you communicate to them, that's the bridge that's being bonded, that you can help them in some way, shape, or form. So yeah, communication is a great tool, no matter what, in anything in life, whether it be music, production, max cybersecurity, any classroom, photography. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Communication's key.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah,
yeah, I kind of learned that myself because, like, I didn't really communicate a lot of stuff. I kind of just, like, let people treat me however they wanted to. Like, it wasn't... It was just kind of, like, I didn't want to make anyone uncomfortable.
Yep.
Like, but I've realized that I am allowed to feel the way that I feel about things. And I'm also allowed to communicate that with other people. And I'm allowed to set boundaries for myself. And if people don't want to respect those boundaries, then I also have, like, the right to just no longer have them in my life.
Mm.
And it's tough, but you just got to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a lesson that has to be learned.
And yeah.
In order to be successful in life, I think it's a lesson that has to be learned.
Yeah, to just, like, be happy and, like, because you can't just have people in your life who don't respect your boundaries, who treat you in a way that you don't want to be treated. You can't have them in your life and be happy because you're constantly having to, like, let yourself be disrespected, basically. Mm-hmm. You're just basically letting yourself be disrespected constantly by these people who don't really think about you.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to learn that. That was such a hard lesson for me because growing up in the South, well, two things is I was female. So the way we were raised is, you know, you cater to your man. I'm in my family. And I'm like, well, I'm screwed because I'm not going to cater to a man because I'm gay. And then the second part was, it was just, I don't know. It was just always told to me what my decisions were. So I felt like I never had a voice until I was your age. When I was kicked out of the house, one for being gay. And, it was really hard because I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to make a decision. What do I want to eat? I don't know. I'm always told what I'm eating or what I'm doing or what I'm anything. So that is, like, the biggest piece of growing, especially at younger ages, is knowing that you can speak your voice. You do have a mind and to use it. And sometimes boundaries are very important to put into place. So I applaud you for getting that so young now because it'll help you so much more in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's been tough because, in I guess, like, in a similar situation, I am Mexican, and, like, we have to just, like, it's like we're very family oriented, and we have to, like, basically just kind of put up with a lot of stuff because they're your family, and you're supposed to treat your family this, like, I don't know, like, they used to kind of think that, like, your family was more important than pretty much anything else, and now I've learned to not take any disrespect from people, and I don't care if they're my family. Like, you gotta respect me, and you have to respect the things that I care about, and if you don't, then I don't have to deal with you. And, like, I still sometimes argue with my mom about that because she'll be like, well, they're your cousins and you have to be super nice, and I'm like, I don't have to be nice to anyone.
Right.
If they aren't nice to me, I don't have to be nice to them.
Yeah. Nobody on the planet deserves respect. It's all earned.
Yeah, 100%. It's just
there's not a single organism on the planet that deserves any respect.
Well, when somebody always comes back with that and they quip back about that, they're like, well, respect should be earned. Really? I never did anything to you.
Right.
Why do you need to earn, or I need to earn your respect, kind of thing?
Right, right. You know, a two-way street,
It is a two-way street. Yeah. But if I, especially anybody at this table, you know, when we're talking about family and relationships and things like that, if you've not hurt that person, then what respect is there to earn?
Right.
You're automatically giving it.
Right.
It is a give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's an inherent, like, small level of respect that you should give to most people off the bat. It's kind of like a, you know, the idea of, what's it called? What's the term? I don't know. Just giving a small level of respect, but that can be revoked, and it's people's responsibility to give people a reason to fully respect them, and you know, and this is getting really off topic, but yeah, I think it's important to have a level of respect for everybody, but also that respect can be lost, and it's important to try to do your best to have people gain a higher level of respect for you just through being a good person and doing things that are productive as a human being, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's an innate sense of self-worth between every human being, and so that innate sense of self-worth is kind of going to go coincide with the amount of respect they think they deserve, the amount of respect they think they should give the world. There's definitely, like, this inherent baseline that everybody kind of shares to a degree, that I would at least think. Maybe like there's a few exceptions in the world, but there's still like a baseline for everybody that talks and meets everybody on a daily day basis. Being just somebody who goes up to people and just like, you're just a rude person in general, that's not going to get you very far in the right. world, nor is it going to get you anything that you want out of life or anything that you want out of what you have in life.
And somebody will eventually take them down a peg as far right, as yep, like
that's inevitable. Right.
where
that's,
that attitude's coming from.
Right, right.
It's definitely inevitable. Inevitable. It will
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, but it'll happen. But will they listen? That's right. that's yeah. true.
Some don't.
Sometimes they've already been taken down a peg and they don't know how to take that, and right. so they just kind of walk around with like this chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're just like angry.
Yeah.
Well, what yeah, about like, you guys, Connor? Nathan?
Yeah.
Y'all want to weigh in on something that's definitely helped you? Software, tools?
People, things.
Mm-hmm.
Ideas.
In regards to people, things, I tend to take everything for granted, and that's probably going to play out extremely well for me. So, in software, Grammarly. Grammarly is absolutely something that I've grown extremely reliant on for my writing purposes.
Same here.
Yeah, it's good to have something there that it's a proofreader 24 hours a day, and that is all I have to say about that.
It's a great program, so I totally agree with you on that. So
it's better when you get the paid version, but then it costs like $10 a month, and it's
So have another pair of eyes, take a look here, can you proofread this?
Yeah,
that works too.
Yeah,
cool, happy to have you back too. It's good to have you back on.
Yeah, it's good to have you, man.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Nathan?
I mean, I think the most important person that I could have for like my passions was my fourth grade orchestra instructor. Like back when I played violin, he was just always about, you know, getting the kids super interested into the music that we were all playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he was a big inspiration for me continuing on in orchestra and also continuing on in music.
Yeah, it definitely reflects that idea of find somebody who is passionate about it and likes mm-hmm. to share the passion.
Yep.
Yeah, because I had a orchestra instructor in middle school, and he was terrible. Absolutely awful.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he was one of those people that made going to class like a painful experience for the entire orchestra.
Gosh.
Yeah, and so it's like it's hard to like get that over to people. Because he was one of those guys who was like, I used to do all this crazy big orchestra stuff, and I used to play and conduct for blah, 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 and all blah, 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 and now I'm teaching you stupid kids. Mm. It's like basically the projection that you would get from him every single day. Gosh. And that entire basis of that person that is not passionate about what they like to do and not passionate about what they're doing right there in the moment, and then you have to suffer through that and then you have to go through that every single day, that's very it sucks. It's really painful. It's tough to do. It's tough to like, it was tough for me to pick up the instrument that I played in band again because I was always like had this idea that was just like, oh, this was so terrible. Like playing the clarinet was awful. I hated it so much. Well, I didn't hate playing the clarinet. I love playing the clarinet. I love playing any musical instrument on the planet. There's not a single instrument. You could give me two spoons and doing the two clacking things on my leg. Like
there
any instrument's awesome. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So like any instrument in the world is awesome. You'll never find me like, oh, I don't like that instrument. I don't like this. The only reason I didn't like playing clarinet is because I had a teacher that like instilled this like haze of idea around me that this is terrible. The experience of learning this is terrible. The experience of playing this with other people in an orchestra where the dude just yells at children all day. That's terrible. It's awful. It sucks to go through. It's not fun. It makes the entire experience around it terrible, which is great to hear when somebody has an instructor that's actually passionate about it and likes to instill that passion into their students and into their and to anybody in their life basically that they meet that has any inclination to music at all. That's a great thing, because it can definitely go the other way to where I dropped the clarinet for like 3 years after I was pretty decent since I played it for 3 years, but then I was like, I don't want to touch this thing again after middle school.
Yeah.
And then so then realizing that it's not because I don't like the instruments, because I didn't like the experience of learning the instrument. So
that was probably the same for me. I played violin in junior high, and while I loved it some days, I also hated it because, one, my family would never let me practice because they were like, it's too noisy. We don't like it.
That's terrible.
So I never got to practice at home. Mm-hmm. But looking back on it, my teacher, I was so heavy-handed, and I still am, changed me over to the viola because it was a little bit deeper sound and resonance. I wish I would have stayed with it because I was actually really enjoying that more so than the violin. It wasn't as tinny and high-pitched.
Right.
But I ended up giving it away or giving it up because... of that same experience. Our teacher had changed, and then it was like he was just not patient, and just a lot of things changed. And then one of my friends had told me, oh, you can't play in high school because all the geeks play that, and you're not going to go well over with the geeks or something like that. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, I went into sports and art. I stayed in art, but went into sports more.
What did you play?
So the violin and viola.
No, but...
Oh, God, I tried everything. Let's see. I did soccer, basketball, which was the worst.
Mine, too. I'm so bad at basketball.
I love basketball.
Nobody ever gave me the ball, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, I'm tall.
I just wasn't aggressive, which is like...
Yeah, I'm tall, and I could get aggressive in the sports competitive situation. I recognize that I have that bone, so I love basketball.
Softball was kind of my niche. I liked softball a lot. I was outfielder because I had a good arm. But shot put and discus I did for 5 years.
Nice.
So I did it through all through high school and started in junior high. And that was my favorite because it was just about chunking it as far as you could.
Right. Because you could take that brute force and just...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wait, but also, do you still talk to your orchestra teacher?
You know, it's been like 15 years since I've even been anywhere near that school.
Damn. So. Was this out of state? Is this somewhere far away?
No, it's this little elementary school up in Westminster.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay.
But no, I didn't even see him after I left the school. Because I had switched schools from 4th to 5th grade.
Yeah.
Oof.
But yeah.
Is that where you started picking up music, was about that age?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. I actually, before I started in orchestra, I was like, my sisters were in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of jealous of them for being in there before me. So I ended up picking up the piano just on my own.
Nice.
So it was actually a little bit before that I was getting into music.
Hmm. Were they the typical sisters that make you play music and dress you up and all that good stuff?
No.
Oh, really?
I mean, at the time, the middle sister didn't really want anything to do with me.
Aww.
Because, you know, middle child syndrome.
Middle child, yep.
Yeah.
And then the oldest sister never actually forced me to play music. Never. So she was nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, the reason I started playing music was because my brother had a guitar. And then, like, I tried everything else. I tried, like, baseball, all these other sports. The only one that I really liked was basketball, but the thing I don't like about team sports is that parents like to get into the way. And then,
I had the opposite experience. My mom never went to one track meet because she worked two and three jobs.
Well,
she never could.
Yeah, my mom was too busy a lot of the times too, and I don't blame her because she's, as you probably know, she's an incredibly busy person all throughout her life.
We need good educators. It's okay.
Yeah. She's addicted to work, but. My dad, on the other hand, he would go and it'd be all right that he was there, but he never really, like, he was on the other end where he wouldn't participate. He would just sit there and do things and, like, just sit there and, like, either on his phone or talking to somebody in work or talking to a friend or something. And then, there was the other parents, the ones that are extremely overbearing, and then the ones that kind of, like,
for their kids.
Right. They kind of live, they almost, like, live through their child, you know?
Wow.
And so they try to, like, instill this, like, they try to mold the team to their specific wants or their specific needs. And I was like, okay, look, we're just a bunch of children. I don't want to do something to where I have to rely on somebody else's competitiveness or abilities or their parents or their lack of parents or their lack of competitiveness or their lack of this or that. So I'll just find something that I like to do. And then so realizing that my brother did guitar, I was like, okay, I could do that because I don't have to rely on anybody else. And so I picked up the guitar and I was like, well, I'll take lessons, I guess. Lessons are all right. I didn't think I was like going to need them or anything. I think I could teach myself. And then it was just took off from there. I originally took piano lessons while I was like really young, but I was so young that I like didn't know what to do. And then my parents just wanted me to do something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because my brother was the kind of guy who would wanted to do everything. We had this thing called Junior Gamify Circus. So the high school had a circus and they taught they taught the entire class body how to do it. And it's like a world renowned student circus. And so he would do like unicycles, juggling knives on fire on a unicycle and like in high school. And that was the kind of things he did. So he would always go to these camps and then he would always do like summer camps. He'd be like a counselor. And I was just always the kind of kid who was like, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. I don't really know what I like. I don't really know what I'm, like, inept to want to do. And then trying everything, I was like, no, I don't really like team sports. I don't really like this or that. Mm-hmm. I don't really like having to go to, like, practice on Sundays and then have the schedule of this is when this happens and this is when it. So I picked up the instrument and then I picked up music and then it all took off from there. And then I found out that I like skateboarding. So I've been skating for like 6 years.
Wow, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah. So I've been skating for like 6 years and then I picked up the basketball again. I was like, oh, this is actually fun. You know why it's fun? Because it's just me and my friends. It's not me and somebody's parents. And somebody else's parents. And then the kids that obviously don't want to be there, but they're being forced to be there. So it's like, now I can actually enjoy myself and have fun because it's on my terms. So I'm one of those people who, yes, likes to do things on my terms.
I think
that's
why I love shot put and discus so much, because every track meet, the field events were always first.
Yeah.
And shot put and discus were always first, top of the line. They went before pole vaulting, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we were always first. So I was competing like 8 a.m.
Right.
8:30, something like that. So a lot of the parents weren't even there yet.
Yeah.
And what was great about it is we were so independent.
Mm-hmm.
I worked out by myself, or I worked out with a football team, the guys that would do shot put. But I was still part of a team, but totally independent.
Right.
And then I was done with the rest of my day while the rest of the track meet's going on. So I'm done by like 9:30 if I start at 8. And so I'm sitting there cheering on the rest of my classmates till like 3.
Right.
So that was kind of cool, but it would get hot.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
So we'd have to find places where we're like out of the sun or under the bleachers or, you know, stuff like that. But that makes me think of how much I appreciated it back then, because I did get to learn some independence separate from my family, since all decisions were made for me. So I think that was instrumental in me finding out some things I did like, didn't like. And
yeah, back to like the thing about, because I tried to do track in high school, because I was a good runner.
Not a good runner.
Yeah, I could do shot put too. I was good at jumping and running. So that was my thing, because I'm a tall guy. But I'm also a big guy too, so it goes hand in hand. But the coaches would always try to get me into doing that. And then when they would try to talk me into doing track or talk me into doing all the stuff, I would just be sitting there like, this kind of seems like the kind of talk that my coaches gave me when I was playing basketball and I hated it, or when I had a teacher that I hated, or when I had all this stuff. They're trying to just like pressure me into it because they want to see me do it for the school or see me do it for the team, not to recognize that maybe this isn't something that I want to do. So then I tried to do it, and then the same thing happened again, to where it was just like the environment of, you must do this for the school, you must do this for your team, it's all of us in, or like nobody at all, and then you have to rely on your teammates and they have to rely on this. And I was like,
loses the whole like purpose.
Yeah, I'm all right. I was great with teaching, because like when I first started teaching people guitar back in Missouri, I was like, oh, this is what I've wanted to do when it comes to a group thing. I want to be the leader. I want to be the person teaching stuff rather than the person who has to be forced to listen to something. And then going back to the idea about having a passion for something, when you find that real passion for something, in transferring that to a student or transferring that to somebody that you're teaching something, it's a really rewarding, satisfying feeling. Mm-hmm. Much more rewarding and satisfying than shooting the ball because your coach told you to, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different experience.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Anything else for anybody else? Thank you guys for sharing. I really enjoyed the guy talk today.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of a nice change of pace. So it was pretty cool. But, you know, I think my entire life, all my best friends were guys, except for now, they're girlfriends.
Right.
So I don't know why that is. So you all are my guy friends.
There you go.
So, yay. Thanks, everybody. Say bye to all our listeners.
Take it easy. Bye.
And you guys have been tuning in to All In, episode 23, Rocky Mountain Media.